Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would direct our paths, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your worship folder is a sheet of paper on one side. Our sermon notes, they're fill in the blank. There's ample space also, if God speaks to you, write it down. And then on the other side, the opposite side, is a weekly devotion, a number of scriptures that follows along with today's message. And I encourage you to take that with you home and use it during the course of the week. And if you're listening online, there's a downloadable PDF that has both of those documents. Now, as we continue our sermon series called Faith on the Big Screen, we've been looking at some of the movies that have been released this summer and how they speak to us about matters of faith, about the spiritual life. Now, over the last 17 years, there have been 7 films made based on one character. Of course, that character is Peter Parker, and we know Peter Parker as Spider-Man. And Spider-Man is the story of a scientifically brilliant but really down-to-earth, well-grounded moral kid in high school who's bit by a radioactive spider. This spider bite transforms him into a wall-crawling, extremely quick, and very, very strong superhero. With this change in ability, his moral compass compels him to become actively involved in helping people in need, and thus he gets the title, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. And despite his newfound super cool abilities, he still struggles to let his affections be known to Mary Jane, or MJ, his classmate and love interest. Now, since 2002, 3 actors have taken on the role of Spider-Man in a number of movies. On screen left is Tobey Maguire, who played Peter Parker for the first trilogy of Spider-Man movies in 2002, 4, and 7. In 2012 and 14, they rebooted the Spider-Man franchise with Andrew Garfield, who is screen center for 2 movies. And then the Marvel Studios rebooted once again Spider-Man in 2016 to go along or coincide with the more than 20 Marvel movies in which Tom Holland, screen right, plays Spider-Man. 2 standalone Spider-Man movies Tom Holland was in that focused on Spider-Man. And then he also appeared in 3 other Marvel movies, 1 Captain America movie and 2 Avengers movies. Now, the most recent movie released this summer is called Spider-Man Far From Home, and it is part of the, again, more than 20 Marvel pictures. And this movie falls in line after the final Avengers movie called Endgame, in which most of all the current Avengers pass along their superhero responsibilities to a new generation. And one of the 2 leaders of the Avengers is named Tony Stark, who we know as Iron Man. And at the beginning of this Spider-Man movie, it becomes apparent that Tony Stark, or Iron Man, is passing his leadership role on to Spider-Man. Spider-Man is reluctant at best to become this new superhero leader. In fact, Spider-Man, you see him here, wrestles with self-doubt. How could I become? Types of questions pummels him when he thinks of becoming the kind of leader that Tony Stark is asking him to become. Becoming more than what he ever thought he could become. And in this movie, another character states to Spidey at one point in time, the whole world is asking, who is the next Iron Man? And to say the least, Peter Parker is experiencing much pressure, much turmoil in his life, and he still hasn't told MJ how he feels about her. Bringing this back to the Christian life, to you and to me, we all at times, or maybe even most of the time, we have to know, like Peter Parker, struggle or wrestle more times than not with self-doubt. We struggle or wrestle with, more times than not, this idea of self-doubt. The how could I become question. How could I become a better friend, a better sibling? How could I become a better spouse, a better parent? How could I become a better neighbor, a better work associate, a better student? How could I become? And when we look at it in terms of the spiritual life, how could I become a better disciple of Jesus Christ? This question of how I could become something more than what I am now, especially as it relates to being a good Christian disciple, can follow us, causing us to wrestle with who we are and what we should be, or what we could be doing for Jesus. And guess what? It's nothing new. It's nothing new. Humans have forever wrestled with these self-doubts. And we note that self-doubt often keeps us from moving forward. Self-doubt often keeps us from moving forward in our lives, especially with God. We feel stuck. We don't think we can take another step. And oftentimes, we don't. Everyone sitting in the pews this morning or listening online all have these times of self-doubt about what we can and should do, just like Spider-Man. And just like Spider-Man's question of stepping up into leadership, we're all given an opportunity to take a next step with God. And we wrestle with the same thoughts that Spidey wrestled with. We know these thoughts are like, you're not ready for this. How many times have you said that to yourself? I'm not ready for this. Or, I'm not good enough, or you're not good enough to do this or take this next step. We are all people who wrestle with these questions. And in our scripture this morning from the book of Exodus, Moses is considered a great man of faith. But Moses experiences self-doubts too. In his first encounter with God at the burning bush in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is now far away from Egypt, having run away from Pharaoh and the Israelite people some 40 years before, God states to Moses that his plan is to rescue the Israelites from the oppression of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And God says to Moses in verse 10, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God is asking Moses to take a step, to step up to the plate and do what God is asking Moses to do. I wonder, can you remember the first time you were asked to do something that you thought was beyond your ability? Something as simple as reading a book or getting on a bike without training wheels. That takes some of you back a long ways. Some form maybe of schoolwork that you were trying to get done, a paper or report. It was just out of your perspective. Or driving behind the wheel for the first time, or even asking someone out on a date. Getting a first or a new job, or a work assignment that has to be done tomorrow, and you have these questions of self-doubt. And in the spiritual sense, God is often will ask us to do something that's beyond our reach, whether it is touch a banner that is impossible to reach on one's own, or to do something else. Maybe it could have been when you trusted Jesus for the first time to save you, and you had these self-thought problems, thinking to yourself, why would Jesus want to save me? Who am I? Or the first time you gave some money to God, thinking, God, what can you do with this meager offering? Or even worse, God stretches you to pray out loud for someone, or to invite someone to church, or to share with them what God is doing in your life. Or heaven forbid, ask someone if they want to know Jesus. All of these can cause us to pause initially, and for some of them, cause you to run in the other direction. Are you kidding, God? You want me to do what? Sometimes when we look at some of our heroes of faith, we forget they too had self-doubts about what they could or could not do. Look at Moses' reaction to God asking him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Read it with me. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And we know Moses asked God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go? Don't you have someone else in the wings? Someone with a little bit more clout? What do I have that causes you to believe that I can bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That I can do what you want me to do? That I have the right pedigree? That I have the right stuff, the right education? Who am I?" And God replies with these five simple words. Words that I'm sure you have used when you've encountered people with doubts, especially kids or grandkids. God says to Moses these words, "I will be with you. I will be with you." These are powerful words. "I will be with you." But like many of us, Moses goes on to question God two verses later, "If I go to the Israelites, I will be with you. What if they do not believe me or listen to me? I will be with you." I think this next one, we can all identify with Moses' response, especially if you were asked to pray or share your faith in Jesus with someone else. You can all identify what Moses says. "Pardon your servant, Lord." Read the rest with me. "I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant."
"I am slow of speech and tongue."
I'm sure you've never, ever said that. God states, "Who has created the mouth?" And then responds to Moses, "Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." It's as if God is saying, "Moses, get on the bike and start pedaling. I'll run alongside of you and hold on to you and help you. I will teach you to keep your balance and ride this bike." And sadly, Moses responds, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Maybe you have said something similar. "Lord, just ask someone else to do it." In this morning's scripture, when God finally does get Moses to Egypt, God tells Moses who he is and what Moses is going to do. Listen to what God says. He says to Moses, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses says to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Self-doubt is or can be a real killer. And so God finally turns and says to Moses about his brother Aaron, "Aaron will do the speaking." God had told Moses, "Go and I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say." And Moses cannot take that step forward because of self-doubt. Now, it's one thing to question God about what God wants you to do. "Really, God? You want me to do this?" It's another thing to have self-doubts about what you believe you can do for God, whether you can touch the top of a banner or not. It's still another thing to constantly fight against what God wants to accomplish with and through you. Especially when God continues to say, "I will be with you. I will teach you. I will give you the words to say." And yet we note that Moses' doubt caused him to not do what God is asking him to do. It's sad to say, but it's true. Moses isn't the only follower of God to wrestle with self-doubt. The Bible is filled from the front cover to the back about people filled with self-doubt when God asks them to step up to the plate or to do something that God wants them to do. And there's not only people in the Bible with self-doubts keeping them from doing what God wants them to do, but people like you and me today. When God called me into ministry, I wasn't married yet. I was single. I did a little exploring about what ministry was like. And then it only took another 12 years before I finally took the step of faith. I'm sure it's happened with you too. And Moses does finally respond to God and trust God at his word. He's not alone. Why? Because God is with him. He knows what to say. Why? Because God teaches him what to say, to the point of giving him the words to say at the moment he needs to say words. And you can do what God asks you to do. Why? Because you're not alone. Because God is with you. Even if you don't know what to say, God will teach you the words to say. And we know because Moses lets go of his self-doubts and trusts God, he goes on to become a great man of faith, to be used by God to do great deeds for God. And then Moses' second in command, Joshua, is finally given the reins to lead the people to the promised land. And the Lord says to Joshua, the first thing the Lord says to Joshua, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross into the land I'm about to give you. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Then God says to Joshua these words. Read them with me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God continues this reminder. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And he finishes with these words to Joshua and to you and I today. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Realize that this isn't just an Old Testament promise. Jesus echoes this understanding that we are not alone today. Jesus says to his disciples, and again us today, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here it is. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous for God. I know, we think in terms of what we internally experience and feel, the things that we think we can do. Yet for Moses, Aaron did not need to speak on his behalf, because when he came face to face with Moses, Moses stepped up to the plate, trusted God, and God gave him the words to say. You see, Moses finally stopped finding excuses and did what God was asking him to do, because God was with him. God did teach him. God did enable him to do what God had called him to do. And whatever it is that God is asking you to do, God will enable you to do that also. We read Exodus, the very beginning of Exodus, and we see this man who is just shaking in his boots because of what God wants to do through him. Seemingly unsurmountable tasks. But listen to what it says about Moses when the writer of Hebrews was talking about all of the great people of faith that had preceded him. The writer of Hebrews says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead." Here's the carrot, ready? He was looking ahead for his reward. For his reward. "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." Man, you read Hebrews not knowing Exodus and you think, man, Moses, whoa. He was a man of great faith, no self-doubt. But that's just not true. I'm sure you can remember in your life people of great faith. People who did things for God and you just shook your head and said, I could never do that. And trust me, for most of them, they faltered too with problems of self-doubt. Moses isn't remembered for his faithlessness. He is remembered for his great faith in God that is worth more than all the riches of this world. And I believe God wants to use you to do great things for God. Will you trust God? Yes, I believe, right? Yes, I believe. Friends, when God asks you to do something, to share your faith, to pray for someone out loud, to invite a friend to worship, whatever it is that God is asking you to do, don't let the wrestling go on too long. Because I know there will be some wrestling. There will be that fleeting question of self-doubt. Don't let it go on too long. People won't remember the words that you used to share your faith. What they'll remember is that you shared your faith. People won't remember the words you used in prayer, whether you stumbled or were eloquent. They will remember that you prayed for them, that they were that important to you to be prayed over. They won't remember how timid you were to invite them to some spiritual event. They will remember your faithfulness and your caring enough for them to ask them. This week, whatever God is asking you to do or whatever God has been asking you to do, remember these words which are found on the bottom of your sermon notes. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And as Jesus reminds us, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Doesn't that give you confidence? Don't let self-doubt take you off the path that God has given you to follow. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. To which I simply say, so go and be faithful. Go. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do ask in Jesus' name that as we live our lives for you here in the now, that you would open our eyes that we could see how you are leading us along, how you are providing a way even when we can't see it. And we thank you that you always do provide a way. So make us strong. Make us faithful. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.